on, whatever that means.
Amen.
I thought it changed every day, amen?
Amen.
But it's good to be here. Wonderful to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful to have the peace of God down in your heart. In these hard, difficult times in which we live, I'm glad God's still on the throne.
Amen.
I never thought I'd see the churches act like they have acted in this pandemic time of the China virus. We have forsaken the things of God. God has not forsaken us, we have forsaken
Amen.
God.
Amen. Right.
We paid no attention to the word of God when it said, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
Somehow we have streamed it and live streamed it and done everything else.
You're right.
But there's nothing like congregating together to worship the Lord
yes,
Jesus
well.
Christ. I'm glad the Lord's opened the churches back up.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Even if you do have on two faces, some of you, the mask one. Amen. Well, I've been taking that hydroxychloroquine or whatever you call it. I haven't had any problem whatsoever with the virus. I may get it tonight after seeing all you folks. But they tell me the Alabama virus is worse than the China virus. But I'm saying roll tide roll.
Amen, brother.
Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to the little book of Jude. Jude, if you stand with me, please, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I was asked about my wife. She is still taking chemo treatments. She has AP of her heart, been out of rhythm. She has COPD and can't breathe good. She has a hiatal hernia so big that she can't eat. For breakfast, she'll eat a half of a biscuit. She's very little bit, lost about 30 or 40, 50 pounds. And I appreciate you continued praying for her.
Amen.
I want to go on record saying she's the best Christian that I know. I've never seen anybody that lived the life that she lived in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that I have a godly woman.
Amen.
Who probably right now, if she hasn't got the hour mixed up, praying for me as I try to preach. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for God that called me to preach. I enjoy preaching. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm glad I'm in the drawer. I enjoy trying to do what God wants me to do. Years ago, when God called me to preach, I was an introvert. Bashful, couldn't eat with five people. But God put his hand on me. And I promised him that night on my knees that I'd try to say everything he said to say and not to say anything he didn't say to say. Sometimes I have said things he didn't say to say and I've gotten in deep trouble. But I've never been in trouble when I've obeyed him and preaching the word. First one of the book of Jude, the Bible said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. What a powerful verse. I love those words, preserved, sanctified, called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord, our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we bow to you tonight, we thank you for the great privilege you've given us to be able to open the Word of God and read it and ask you to add your blessings to it. We pray tonight, Lord, that you might move in amongst us and do something that would glorify thy name. Lord, you know every heart here. You know what our needs are. And I pray you might move amongst us and do in us what needs to be done that would glorify your name, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to lift out of verse 3 where it says, "Here to earnestly contend for the faith." And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on contending for the faith. It seems as if that we don't have much contending tonight for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems as if any little old thing knocks us out of the saddle of really standing for the things of God. Faith is essential for our relationship and fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about without faith it's impossible to please Him. So faith is a very essential thing in our salvation. Thank God we can be saved by faith, through faith. Hey, isn't it wonderful tonight to know that by grace through faith we can be saved.
Amen.
By the goodness of God. So it's important. Faith is equally essential tonight for our walk with God. We must exercise faith in Him. I want to give you two or three things tonight talking about in these hard, difficult times in which we live. This is not easy times. When the whole world's against us.
Amen.
When I look back, I read about the Old Testament saints and the things that happened to them. It looks like it's reversing and coming back to us. But all I can say, even so come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But in these difficult times of trials and testing, faith is very important. Faith, first of all, is shows the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Very familiar passage of scripture here, where it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I love that verse, "For he hath made him." Notice what he says. Notice who the he is in him. "For he," God, "hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin." He did not become sin. He was made to be sin for us.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. You see, it takes divine grace and faith. That is a gift of God. And I'm telling you, isn't it wonderful how God, in a place like this sometimes, the man of God will be preaching and you're sitting there and somebody come in that's unsaved and sit there, how that the grace of God reaches out and speaks to the heart. Can you remember when you got saved? Can you remember when you got convicted? Can you remember when you were undone on your way to hell? And all of a sudden, that divine grace brought conviction on your heart.
Amen.
I like it, don't you?
Amen.
Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." What a wonderful gift that God has given to you and me, talking about the faith and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all.
Amen.
Nothing else has to be done. He completed the transaction when he died on that cross for you and me. And you and I got right tonight to lift both hands and say, "Hallelujah."
Amen.
So I'm just saying to you tonight, the divine grace and faith is a gift of God. Dependable grace is from him, and faith is from him that will stand the test. Aren't you glad God can stand every opposition that comes our way? We're human. We're frail. We're fragile. We break easy. But aren't you glad tonight? Praise God that he doesn't break.
Amen.
He doesn't bend. He's strong. He's forever. He's our God. Amen.
Amen.
Divine faith. I'm telling you, when we talk about that divine grace and divine faith, it'll get us all the way through. I was preaching up in the state of Pennsylvania some years ago over the Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I was trying to think of the name of the town close to Harbor Creek in Pennsylvania. I was preaching there one night, and there's a man came in, him and his wife, and they sat down on the back row. And God got to speak in that man's heart, and he got up and he walked out, and he stood outside, and he came back in and sat back down. And I preached, that's when I was young, and I preached about an hour, hour and a half. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm old now. But I've been preaching a while, and that man got under such heavy conviction, he began to weep out loud. I mean, began to just sob. God brought deep conviction on the heart, and he came down, and the pastor took the word of God and showed him how to get saved by the grace of God. That's that divine faith and grace that God gives when he brings conviction on the heart. Can you remember when you got messed up? Can you remember really when you really got messed up? And then God fixed you up?
Amen.
I love to tell when I got saved, you already know that. So we talk about contending for the faith, contending about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice something else. When I talk about contending for the faith, we talk about the final veracity of the Scripture. I'm glad to thank God that they're real, they're accurate.
Amen.
There's no error. There's no problem with the understanding of it when you get the right pronunciation and the right order in which God has given it. When I think about conformity of fact, accuracy, in other words, habitual truthness. And I don't particularly care about that word habitual. A habit of doing something without thinking. So I don't think we ought to do too much of that. I think I do too much of it anyhow, amen. But we talk about the word of God being accurate. We see the miracle of the power of the word. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 24. I'm well aware that Matthew 24 deals with the tribulation period, but praise God we can make an application. This is truth here. He says, heaven and earth in verse 35 shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Even in the tribulation period, the word will not pass away.
That's right,
man. Even in the millennial reign of Christ, the world will not pass away. The word's always here. Thank God I have in my hand a copy of the true, preserved word of God. I like that word in Jude, verse 1, preserved. Can anybody hear it? Amen?
Right.
When we talk about the word, you know what we ought to do with the word? Hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. You know what will help you more than anything else and help me more than anything else? Is take his word and hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God Almighty. God the Holy God.
Amen.
Amen. And his word is accurate. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not accurate.
Amen.
Just because you don't understand what he said doesn't mean it's not true. I'm glad it's real, aren't you?
Amen.
So notice the third thing tonight when we talk about contending for the faith. When we talk about contending for the faith, I think about the forgiveness of all sin. Turn to those famous verses in 1 John, just a few pages back from here. In 1 John chapter 1, Look at verse 7, if you would, with me. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad tonight, thank God that he forgives us of all sin. I may have told this, I was preaching up in the state of Indiana some years ago. I'm sure I've told this. I was preaching up in the state of Indiana, and I got through preaching that night, and I stepped out and sat down at the front row. And that they was closing the service out. When we started to leave, when we closed out the prayer, that lady back of me punched me on my shoulder, and I turned around. She said, "Can I speak to you a minute?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." Her husband went out. And I was talking about the forgiveness that night preaching. I talked about when will we forgive somebody, when do we have to forgive somebody, when did God forgive us? I said, God forgave us when we asked him to forgive us. I said, and anytime anybody asks you to forgive them, you better forgive them. So that night when that man walked out and the ladies turned around and said to me, "You got a minute?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Thank you for the message tonight." I said, "You're welcome." I turned back around. She said, no, let me tell you something. I said, "All right." She said, "The man I'm married to now, he had a son when we got married. His first wife died. My first husband died. We met and we started dating. We got married. Said his son never received me as his mother. Really objected me marrying his daddy. And said he just so mean. And said one night when my husband was working late, he set the house on fire trying to burn me up. And said my husband and I have been at odds with each other over that because I told my husband I'll never forgive him until he asked me to forgive him. And he said, you ought to forgive him before he asked you." And that night I said, "You don't have to forgive anybody until they ask you. But now, wait a minute. You got to be on that line ready to forgive." Amen?
Right.
I mean, you got to be, if they're ready, you better be ready. Don't get lost on me now. And so when she got through telling me about trying to burn the house up and her husband been at odds over that forgiveness, the next night I got through preaching, I sat down on the front row, she walked out and he punched me on the shoulder. I said, "Uh-oh, here's where the rubber's going to hit the road now, bud." And he said to me, "Preacher, thank you for the message last night." He said, "Can I say something to you?" I said, "Yes, sir, you sure may." He said, "Last night you preached on forgiveness. I've been mad at my wife for several years now, 3 or 4 years, because she hadn't forgiven my son." He said, "Last night when you got through preaching, I went home and put on a pot of coffee. And she came in. I had cups ready for us to sit down and drink coffee. And I asked her to forgive me for being like I was about that forgiveness." And he said to me, "My son tried to burn my wife up." I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "He has never been sorry for it. He has never asked her to forgive him for what he has done." And he said, "What should I do?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go to your son and tell him that he needs to go to her and ask forgiveness." He said, "I've never spoken to him about it." I said, "Well, you need to." Make a long story short, he said, that night, last night, my wife and I really made up with each other. We became sweethearts all over again. There's nothing like forgiveness. All of us are imperfect. I know you think you are, but you're not. All of us are imperfect.
Amen.
Aren't you glad, thank God, tonight that God said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. But look on down in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh my, you haven't arrived. You think you have, but you have not arrived to perfection that will come. If you're saved, when the rapture takes place, we'll be perfect forever. Notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
That means everything. That means confession. I mean on all sin. Complete confession of all sin. Then we have all forgiveness. There's nothing like getting down at the altar of God. Somebody said, I'm too old, I can't get down. Well, get on the front pew. You miss me? Can't catch me, can you? Hi, Mom. But hey, there's nothing like getting at the altar, even if it's at the front pew, and sit down. And make sure your heart gets clean completely. Confess all things.
Right.
God will do something like you had never experienced in a long time if you just let God have his divine way. When I think about the forgiveness of God, aren't you glad it takes and just washes sins away from old sin?
Amen.
Put peace and joy down in your heart. How many of you glad you're really saved?
Amen.
It'd be all say, man. See, when we get saved by the grace of God and have the forgiveness of God, then we submit to the will of God. There's nothing like being in the will of God. There's a world of arguing about the permissive will and the direct will. I think there's a will, amen?
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're in the will of God or you're not in the will of God. I was sitting in the Hackett corner when I was at Tennessee Temple. There's a big argument about being in the perfect will of God or the permissive will of God. And one fella said, well, if you come in that door, are you in the perfect will of God or in the permissive will of God? And if you come in that door, what will are you in? I said, you're in the happy corner. Amen. That door doesn't have anything to do with permissive or the perfect will of God. I'll tell you how to get in the will of God. Submit to him.
Amen.
Come down and bow and say, Lord, here I am. Take all of me. Everything about me, my vocabulary, my everything, I surrender my whole life, my whole being, everything I have, my billfold, my family, even my children. Submit them to the will of God and let God have his way. Amen?
Amen.
I thought about the contending for the faith. Earnestly contending for the faith. When he means everything above everything in your life. When he supersedes every event, everything. Well, I'm telling you, when I look on some of this Facebook stuff, Lord, what an awful thing. Amen. Then notice the family of saints. I quoted a while ago Hebrews 10:25 about the forsaking when I said together. Now, worship together is in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's where it ought to be. Not digital, thank God, though, it's going out all over the world. Go you into all the world, preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, you and I, when we belong to a church, we all be at the house of God.
Right.
When they shut down all the churches, I didn't know it, but Wrong Baptist Temple at that time, Brother Billy was live streaming. When nobody was supposed to go in, I just happened to, I don't know how I found it, but it was on there. So I got up and put my clothes on, went to the church house and walked in. I'm the only one in there except the one doing the live streaming. And he got to preaching and I got to shouting. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
When all of it was shut down, I went to church. I'm telling you, hey, Bible talks about the house of God, worship together in the house of the Lord. Worship together, walk together in service and love. When I think about the attendance and the service of the Lord, we'll serve Him with all of our heart, work together. Then notice something else tonight. I'm talking about the fullness of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That is a divine command of God. God commands you and me to be filled with the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we have victory over the power of sin. You're no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. But when I'm full of the Spirit of God, I have victory over the power of sin. You know what hurts most of us tonight? Our complacency.
That's right.
Our coldness. Our lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what hurts most of us tonight? We want our way over God's way.
That's right.
If we ever put Him first, then everything will be all right. But then notice something else when I'm talking about the contending for the faith. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm talking about the future of the saved. Notice with me, if you would, in the Word of God, in verse 16, verse familiar passage scripture, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen.
Amen.
The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What we're going to say is farewell to this whole world. Praise God, won't it be wonderful to shed all this cares of this world? I preached a funeral when the ladies in our church passed away the other week. Miss Dark Jones. She passed away and I preached her funeral. What a joy it is to see a saint of God get promoted to glory. What's the best thing in the world for a preacher when he has to preach a funeral is to know that person professed to know the Lord as Savior. Amen?
Amen.
When I think about saying goodbye to this whole world, I look back. I'm getting old now. All my preacher friends, most of them dying off. Just had another one pass away. I thought, isn't it wonderful to know that one day we're going to reunite together.
Amen.
In the clouds with them, to be with the Lord forever, forever with the Savior. Stop and think about going to heaven. I preached up in Duncanville, Pennsylvania. A man by the name of Bernie sat on the second row on my right. He was known for waving his handkerchief. He just pulled that handkerchief out and he just waved that thing and just shout. You think those Yankees wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
But he would just wave that handkerchief and just shout. Bernie passed away. Got promoted to glory. The next year I went up there to preach it. It just seemed like they were something hovering over. I got to talking about Bernie that night, going to heaven. And I said, "Don't feel Bernie tonight. He's got that handkerchief, just waving that thing, shouting the victory." The next night when I came in to preach and started preaching, everybody in that building pulled out a white handkerchief and started waving that thing. You're talking about revival breaking out. Tuesday night I preached up there in Brother John Leatherman. I preached an hour. I'm talking about the future of the saved. I preached an hour that night. When I got through preaching, people got talking about the Lord testifying. And for 1 hour and 15 minutes they testified. Brother John Leatherman walked down to the front of the church. Make me nervous with that thing. And he stood like this. For an hour and 15 minutes, they testified about going to heaven. They're talking about mom and dad going to heaven. They got a little low Tuesday night. But John said, "All right, we're just going to uncouple here. We'll start back here tomorrow night just like this." Had prayer and we left. I thought just Wednesday night, right before. But John came back Wednesday night down here in front of us, crossed his arms, and just stood there. And for another hour, people testified. So, what'd you do? I preached another hour. I'm telling you, heaven was sweet that week when God moved in. Think about this. When we get saved by the grace of God, and our future in heaven is going to be rejoicing forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Won't ever be a sad day up there.
Amen. Amen.
Won't ever be any death quakes up there. Mm-hmm. Won't be any tears or sorrow up there. When we say goodbye to this old world, praise God, it's going to be heaven from then on.
Yeah.
I don't want to go by the way of the grave. I want to wait on the rapture.
Amen.
But if I have to go by the way of the grave, I'm glad, as that old black preacher said, the Lord's already went down there and cleaned it out and made it a pleasant place to wait for the Lord to come.
Amen.
Back. Amen. One old guy said it's nothing but the dressing room to get dressed up for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to know beyond any doubt that my home is in heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, I do not have to worry about going to hell. I've been hell proof. I cannot go to hell. Amen. Somebody said, "You believe in heaven and hell?" Absolutely. I believe the Bible teaches both. Rich man Lazarus, when died, went to hell. Separated from God. Tonight you don't have to go to hell. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you can know.
That's right.
You don't have to live with a question mark. You can know very positive that when you bow down to Him and plead guilty about being a lost sinner, and ask God to come into your heart and save you, He does. No ands and ifs and buts about it. He'll accept you just like you are, but He won't leave you like you are.
That's right.
He'll completely change you and make you what He wants you to be if you're surrendered to Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Say farewell to this old world. And enjoy the happiness forever with the saints of God. Over on the other side. Father, I pray you'll take the message, man, somehow use it to speak to every heart in this building. Father, I pray for that one that's discouraged, that you'd encourage them in the Lord. I pray for the ones that need to come and bow down an old-fashioned altar, commit to the will of God and the way of God, they come. I pray the altar be filled tonight with the people of God surrendering, asking you for your divine power, your help in the pandemic days in which we live, to stay close to you, not to abandon the things of God, but Lord, let you have your divine way. We'll certainly thank you for what you do now, in Jesus' name. Amen. What was the thing about it?
476.
That's right, just come on.
I surrender all.
Come on, that's right, just come on. Let God have his way tonight. It'd be good if we'd all come to the altar. Let God have his way.
Sermon here the other day on that, on the danger of complacency. How we've gotten cold, calloused. The Bible talks about that's the way it's going to be in the last days. It's so bad, the Bible said our conscience will be seared with a hot iron. If I saw myself getting that way, that hard, I believe I'd run to the altar, wouldn't you? The Bible reminds us today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Sunday about the Church of Laodicea.